Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm great. I think that this might be our last Olympics episode. How does that make you feel, Netta?
I think it is. I think we're finally done. I think.
Not ever, but.
Now we are free, or whatever that one song is. Yeah, this is it. It's crazy because life kept insisting that we don't do this, but it's time. As of, I'm gonna date this episode, as of time of recording, World starts tomorrow, so there's only so much we could have postponed this. Life comes at you fast.
It sure does. Netta and I are like the sisterhood of the traveling pants, except it's like the siblinghood of getting very sick at the same time, and also life events always happening to us at the same time.
Everything is happening so much. I do want to reassure the beloved audience that I have not been recast. I am still me. My voice is just elsewhere this time, and we couldn't wait anymore. So we're gonna have to deal with whatever this is for the next hour or so.
Yeah, between the two of us, we have like one functional lung, and that's enough for us, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes a family can be two podcasters in one lung.
It's my favorite YouTube video, my favorite spicy YouTube video.
From 2004.
Yeah, you know.
Two podcasters, one long.
Anyway, on that note, this is
the Olympics. This is the Olympics.
We are going to be concluding our coverage by recapping the men's event. And I think inevitably it's going to end up being sort of a little like world's preview wrapped into it, right? Because we're very much like mentally there. As Netta said, it starts very soon. Is there anything we need to say before we start?
No, world is still garbage. Please continue to take care of yourselves and others and contributing to causes and people who need your aid all over the world.
Be a good person.
Be a good person. And also, if you want to be a good person to us, tell us nice things on the internet. It's so minute in the grand scheme of things, but it does help us out. And I think we've said all of the big, terrible, sad shit in other episodes. So this is just boys.
We're going to start with the podium in third place with the bronze medal, Shoma Uno.
Shoma Uno concluding the quad movie of the quad of the millennium. We've been talking about him as the main character for literally years. He's made so many choices along the way. We've already mentioned all of them when this was just a preview, but the boy pulled it off.
He did. And like, it was classic chaotic Shoma where, you know, the Landos were cheeky and
the energy was unhinged.
It was a wild ride from start to finish. And yet, I think the thing that made it like this triumph, I don't want to say triumphant conclusion because, again, like, worlds is happening. Take a shot every time I say that. But don't, because you'll die.
No, I can't. I'm on antibiotics right now.
We can't take a hit to our subscriber numbers in that fashion. Yes, I mean, please, I care about you.
If you do choose to drink in your own an age where that's okay, do it responsibly. But world is happening.
Yeah, so it's not exactly a conclusion, but in terms of like the Olympics to Olympics arc, let's say, yes. I felt that what was different was that continued growth of Shoma's presence. And you could just tell he felt grounded, confident, self-assured, which I guess is also confident.
Confident.
No, I mean, and he's still kind of this like sheepish, like dorky chaos monster, right? But I don't know. I was thinking a lot earlier about Yuma Kageyama, as one does, just thinking about the
just
boy.
In life.
Yeah.
Contemplating the boy.
I was trying to figure out sort of, I mean, we'll talk about him more in a second. Spoiler, he won silver. If you're still not up to date on the Olympic medals, good for you.
Honestly, I envy your entire life at this point.
Yeah, as I was thinking about Yuma and sort of, I couldn't really put my finger on why I feel like he's not at the level of like the grown men yet, because he does have the artistry and he does have the jumps and he does have all of that. And it's not that he doesn't have the stage presence either. Like, he's got his cute little like pockets and hands and pockets boy, buble, charm.
About that.
All right. But wait, did you say don't talk about that?
No, I said I will talk about that in a second when we get there.
Like, don't fucking mention Buble, okay, Jackie Wong?
This is a safe space. How dare you?
How dare you? I'm sorry. No, but I think that what Yuma needs is that confidence, that star power, like embracing his star power, feeling his oats. That is the difference between Yuma and Shoma. It's that maturity and also that, like, yes, I am a star thing. And nobody's doing that like Yuzuru Hanyu, obviously. But if we're talking about, like, the Japanese men's team.
It's the, like, I think owning it.
Shoma's getting much closer to that Yuzu level of, like, I am a diva, I am a star, like, in a good way.
Yeah, I think it's a completely different skill set from being a very good athlete. I think a lot of people can be very, very good, like, athletes and performers and artists. But I think there is just, like, another level of, like, glamour. And I do say that in, like, the fae meaning of the world of the word. I think there is a sense of, glamour. Like, yeah, there is, like, a charm effect to when you fucking know you've got it.
Yes, and I think...
Absolutely.
I think Shoma has really grown into that. It wasn't perfect, and I honestly wouldn't have had it be perfect. This is narratively perfect. Was it technically perfect? No, but the narrative, ideal.
Ideal. And I also think that Stefan has, like, his guidance of Shoma comes through loud and clear in that, like, sort of star power element. Because not only, I mean, that's something Stefan has spoken about a lot in interviews, is, like, that ineffable thing of, like,
yes,
projecting to the audience, and it's not exactly super well defined, but he has it. Like, he has capital I it.
Yes.
And so do his other pupils. I mean, like, Denis Vasiliev is, like, one of the best in that area, despite not being, like, a consistent top six placer. So whether we knew it or not, things worked out the way they had to, because that confident, like, let me show you what I can do.
Yes.
Vibe is what Shoma needed, I think.
Correct. I keep thinking about both of his programs at this Olympics, and I would not have had any of it go any other way, I think, is my general conclusion.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about how, so if you're like a newer fan, Shoma won silver at the previous Olympics in Pyeongchang, and yes. It's interesting because at that time, Shoma was sort of the Yuma Kageyama figure, like just a little guy who just got here, and he's pretty young. And
just a little guy.
Was kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. And I would be really curious to talk to Shoma about this. Not that we'll ever be able to get him on the pod, not least of all, because my Japanese isn't great. But
mine is non-existent, aside from, like, mispronouncing a bunch of food that I like to eat. Non-existent.
So what I would be able to practically ask Shoma is, like, is it raining? Is it Monday? What color is your shoes? I would actually love to ask him sort of the difference in kind of winning an earlier career silver versus a really, really, really hard won, hard earned bronze as, like, an older athlete. Older than he was, not older in general. He's still, 24, 25.
You don't need to apologize to the audience for the passage of time, I don't think.
I need to apologize to everyone for everything, and I think that's what you don't understand about me, Netta, is that I owe everyone an apology all the time.
I mean, yes, but not for the reasons you think.
Okay, what? I know, that was the harshest read of all time, but I know what you mean.
I know, I just wanted to be mean for a second. Now I'm going to proceed to apologize for 5 minutes.
Yeah, our friendship is over. Friendship according ended. According to the internet.
Yeah, wow. Reddit is going wild about this fissure in our working
Hashtag
relationship.
Hashtag apologize, Netta.
No. Have you considered? No.
No, heart emoji.
No, just, like, smiley, like, colon parentheses smiley face.
The way that you said colon parentheses, I thought you were saying, like, a man named Colin parentheses.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else, please welcome to the stage Colin parentheses.
Okay, that's my new drag persona. If I ever do drag, I'm going to be Colin parentheses.
That's actually very, very funny, and all of your merch is just, like, a smiley face.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really fucking smart, Megan.
Yeah, sometimes mishearing people all the time gets you some good ideas. Have you ever tried just having audio processing issues? If you want to be funnier, you should try it out.
Yeah, this is now a podcast about being funny. It's not, we're not going to be funny. We're just going to like theorize about it.
Yeah, we'll just teach you how to be funny. And then we'll teach you about Yuma Kageyama.
Yuma Kageyama deserves the entire world. Just everything that he has already achieved. He achieved the ultimate, holy shit, how am I on this podium? What is happening? Which continues to happen to him. And at this point, I think he should get used to it. Not to be, like, fucking mean about it, but, like, fucking get used to being on the podium all the time. I joke, of course. I think he is so close to being this, like, absolutely full package with, like, the it factor and everything. From the bottom of my heart, get this boy's hands out of his pockets. I never want to see him do anything like this ever again. He deserves bigger.
When he skates, he looks like every anime boy that I drew in high school before I learned how to draw hands. Just full hands in pockets.
He looks like when you're, like, late with your costume design homework.
Maybe he'll put his hands behind his back next time, or like,
he's just gonna have like one very nice left eye.
I think that we can look forward to, from Yuma Kageyama, kind of a Alyssa Liu glow up in a way, because I think his bread and butter at this point, his stock and trade, is kind of that cutesy thing.
Yes.
And one can't do that forever. So of course, as he, you know, grows up and probably wants to take on more challenging and sophisticated material, I'm really curious to see sort of, you know, how does Yuma Kageyama, the grown-ass man, skate?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's exciting.
It does feel like the dawning of the new age, the new quad. Like, I don't know who's retiring and who's not, but...
Oh, God, we're not. No.
No, and we're not. But of the new guard, of the new generation, of the people who just emerged this past Olympics quad 4 years. Sidebar, if you're sort of new to skating, sometimes quad means a four revolution jump, and sometimes quad means
4 years.
The period of 4 years between one Olympics and another, and it's confusing. But that's, we don't always mean like a quad lots. So of this like Olympic quad, this 4 year cycle of the people who emerged just during that, Yuma's gonna now go into this next one, and like I think he's just gonna win a couple major gold medals, and hopefully that's enough for him to start feeling his oats.
Yes. But Jackie is currently tweeting about how Yuma's not having a good practice at Worlds right now. I'm like, are we jinxing this man in real time? He's just having problems with, according to Jackie, he's just having trouble with his quad cell.
Okay, but also, apparently everyone on Earth is having trouble with, like, at least one jump at this Worlds. It's a post-Olympics Worlds. It's gonna be chaotic, so I'm so
fucking excited.
I'm very ready. And even if this isn't Yuma's competition, he has all the time in the world, for sure.
Correct. Yes. I think he's up there with, like, all the ladies that I said that about last time. I would be thrilled if he does this for the rest of his life. I would also be thrilled if he's like, you know what, I'm 18 and I fucking medal to the Olympics. Peace out. I think that'd be fine. I'm very excited to watch him grow. I mean, if everything for him continues to develop the way it has been developing, he's going to be on the podium next time as well. It's basically unavoidable.
I agree with you that I would be totally supportive of him or anybody who wanted to step away. I don't really see that happening with him because, first of all, Japanese skaters don't really do
well,
that.
Yeah.
Like, especially the men. And second of all, his dad's a skating coach, so it's not like he...
he can't just, like, go home and retire. His dad's just going to be there.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's probably not, like, familial pressure to get a different job or something.
Yeah, no one's like, you should be an architect. Or, like
you should help us run the family business. It's like, all of a sudden, I've just made them, like, the Succession family.
Oh, God, I have not seen Succession. I simply refuse to.
Oh, I was going to say, I want someone to skate to Succession, and maybe it's you.
What is the music in Succession? Is it, like, a good score, or is it just, like, pop music?
It's a good score. It's like, how do I describe it? It's like piano. It's like lo-fi piano with like kind of a very chill lo-fi beats to study to. Like, you've probably heard the theme. It's like...
Where would I have heard the Succession theme in my daily life?
Because Demi Adjuibe did a fucking thing to it. He like wrote lyrics to it and it was fun.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I have seen and heard that, yes.
I think it would just be a fun program, but I also kind of want... Evelotta to do it because she could be a really good Shiv Roy, who's the main female character who has red hair.
Yeah, I think Evelotta as just like a mean business lady is just good.
It's what we deserve.
I would like to talk to you about Olympic gold medalist Nathan Chen.
I would always like to talk on this topic.
Oh God, it feels good. And it continues to feel good. Spoiler alert, he's not going to be at Worlds because he is being smart about, like, a recurring injury. But I feel like he had a pretty good end to his competitive season, I would say.
For real. And I also am really glad he's doing that because yeah. I've said a few times on this show, actually, like, wow, I guess Nathan hasn't had, like, the awful career injury ever since, you know, he had the awful spine thing a million years ago.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God.
But I'm glad to see he's taking care of himself so that doesn't, like, become an issue. And he, you know what? It's like he doesn't need it. He doesn't need another bajillionth world title. Like, he's got his Olympic gold.
And no, so there is always next year.
Yeah, I'm not saying, I mean, he's been kind of inconclusive about continuing, but regardless, obviously we support him. And I think, you know, I mean, the Olympic gold is just like, it was like his sort of white whale, right?
Yes. And everything about the way he got there was perfect. I'm so proud of him. And God, I could write a dissertation about the fucking second half of his Olympic free skate, which is the most joy I have experienced in maybe years.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times at this point, and every time I pick up something new. And having just rewatched a lot of the top six men's performances literally just before this as a refresher, I think that what Nathan doesn't get enough credit for is that he
so many things.
But he's so on every beat of the music.
Yes. Like,
maybe his choreography isn't the same style as Yuzu's or as Jason's, but he is very much synchronizing his movements to the beats of the music. Like, I would argue just as much.
It's purposeful. Yeah. It's purposeful.
It's purposeful. And it's like, it's not just random movements. Like, if you, it's lyrical. It's like very lyrical in a way that a lot of programs really aren't.
You would think that the people who think he has empty choreography don't know shit about choreography.
Honestly, though, I have to say something. And it's that I, as a Nathan stan, don't know what it's like to feel joy or emotions or connection to the music. I don't know any of that. And yeah, I actually really wanted to take this time to thank Nathan for that, because for most of my life, I think many would say I had too many emotions.
Yeah, and now you're completely devoid of emotions, and you should be extended the grace of being understood as a lesser human because you enjoy his skating.
Yeah, thanks to Nathan Chen, I no longer have to feel things like sorrow or guilt or anxiety. I can just go through my life head empty and be like, yes, Elton John, thank you.
Yes, I enjoy hip-hop's favorite Elton John and not experiencing emotions at the Olympics or ever. Do you want to hear my hot takes, of which I have several?
I do, but like, we should contextualize this in case anybody listening is lucky enough to not be on Twitter.
Gosh, some poor unfortunate soul on Twitter. It was one of those like rabid Yuzu fans who, again, Yuzu Rohanyu is the greatest of all time, and we all know that. And people have made it embarrassing to stan him because they're embarrassing as a group of people. Here's an example of that.
So I'm gonna read you this manifesto.
Go for it.
Fan Yuz. I entreat you to remember that fans of a skater who has never skated with real sincerity of emotion can't have the depth to understand that Yuzu skates with the ideal of bringing hope to those who have suffered. We must be the bigger people and show them pity and love.
I feel pitied and loved, which, honestly, I've been single for a long time. I needed to feel loved. And this has done it for me, Megan.
Here's what I want to say before we get into tearing this to shreds, as we should. I want to put out there that this is awkwardly worded enough that I want to extend the grace of maybe this is English is not their first language.
English is not my first language, bitch, and I'm out here.
The condescension bleeds through no matter what language, but I just want to say, like,
no, yeah, I will judge this person. If you're confident enough in your English skills to be out there doing takes on the internet, I will use my ESL to judge you.
Well, judge away.
I just think, Well, several things, and they're all connected. First of all, this is not my original take. Someone already pointed this out on the internet because people are smart. You know, when you look at a child of immigrants skating to a song about immigration with, like, the most expression and just, like, carefully thought out sensitivity as Nathan did a couple years back when he did Land of All, and I sobbed through the entirety of that world's performance. You know when someone does that and you're like, well, he's never done anything with, like, real meaning? You know when that happens?
Yeah, well, and the irony of it all is that actually, if you think about it, like, that is just one example of Nathan really using his skating as, like, his sole vector of communication of, like, his story and his life and everything. Like, he's actually using his skating really expressively. It's just that, like, if you're not making that connection,
that's on you, baby.
Also then explaining it contextually of, like, this is my life story and this is how it relates. Like, that's, yeah, it's...
I almost wonder if we should extend pity and love to people who wish that every single skater had, like, Yuri on Ice monologue just playing behind your thing where, like, this is what I've been fighting for and now I'm finally here. Like, this is what the people want, apparently.
I need the audience to know that Netta's been doing voiceover stuff all day before we recorded this, and, like, it shows because that was a fucking bang on anime voice.
Yeah, I had, like, an actual thing to record and now I'm in the mood.
They don't even know that's my final form.
Oh, gosh. So anyway, what I'm trying to say here, it might be my bougie experimental theater background, but I think it's condescending to have to give a press conference or a series of tweets or a heartfelt Instagram post of, like, this is why I've done this program. Sometimes art just speaks for itself and it requires half a functioning brain cell to get that.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this point a lot in conjunction with the press and the way he's been represented and stuff in the post-Olympic golds, like, era. Yes. In his gold medalist era. And how it occurred to me that all these, like, narratives and stories of Nathan, like, coming from a background where he couldn't always, like, afford skating lessons and his parents are immigrants and, like, all these things that you would normally see contribute to that kind of, like, this is perfect for television narrative, and how Nathan's actually always been very private about that.
Yes.
And I kind of understand why, because, like, if your mom is, like, scraping together money for you to do this thing, that's, like, maybe not something you want to then put out in the public if that's something that, I mean, not that you have to be embarrassed about that, but, you know, it's tricky with, like, parents and stuff like that.
Especially with, like, an immigrant narrative. Yeah, no, I get it. I understand what you meant. Also, there is the whole thing of, like, first of all, no one owes you a sob story for their art to be interesting and compelling. I think that's, like, one of my biggest issues with, like, something like whichever country's Got Talent or, like, The X Factor or something, is that you have two parallel things, and one of them is, here's the sob story, and the other one is, like, here is what I'm performing. And sometimes someone will be terrible at a thing, but they'll tell you about how their fourth cousin got hit by a train, so people cry about it. I think it's tacky to be expected to explore your family or closed ones or, like, whatever hardships in your life to make you worthy of the attention of an audience. I think that's bullshit, and I really respect him for, like, having his life story or, like, his family's, you know, strife and struggle to get to a point be the context of a win that's already happened instead of, like, please give me this medal, here's why kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that the reason that struck me this time watching it was because, you know, post-Olympics, all these things come out. There's, like, all these threads about how, like, he used to, his, you know, try and sneak Raph his money that his mom had given him, and then Raph would, like, give it back to him. And, like, it was just, you know, all these little things that I understand why you might not want that out there. Like, you might not want your family's financial stuff out there. You might just want to be like, let's focus on the skating. And we always really love all the narratives. Like, you and me, Netta, like, on this show, we love the narratives. I think that the narrative can also just be like your trajectory as an athlete.
Yes.
And I think that's been Nathan's narrative the whole time, except he's kind of just been on top the whole time. And so with a couple of exceptions that have been milked to death in the media of like lower points.
Yeah.
I can maybe see why, like, if you think the only thing going on in someone's life is their career as an athlete and you just take that, why you might be like, well, Nathan never loses, so he must be a jerk. Like, that's kind of an insane way to think, but I get it if you're like, I have pity and love for you if you think that way. We'll put it that way. It's like the New Hope and Legacy. It's pity and love.
Fucking comfort and joy.
Jesus. It struck me watching Rocket Man for like the third or fourth time or whatever, because there's that line of like mongrels who ain't got a penny. And like, the mongrels part is not here nor there. I wouldn't call a human that, or animal actually, but you know, he does his little like money gesture. And so like, first of all, I'm like, wow, an example of choreography that goes with the music. But I guess, you know,
a meaningful hand gesture.
A meaningful hand gesture.
His hands are out of his pockets and they're doing gestures.
But to me, that spoke, I mean, like, is that not personal? You know what I mean? Is it not personal when he says, like, I'm not the man they think I am at home? Like, maybe we don't know who the man they think
we know his name, not his story. It's the Gabby Daleman.
It's the Gabby Daleman. You know his name.
Not his story.
I do want to say that I think that if you are a person who really like is an extrovert with their life story, like I think like Yuzu's been really open with his life story, people like Keegan Messing, people who've gone through tragedies and been really open with it, like I think that's really beautiful if that's, I mean, where you come from naturally. I just don't think anyone should have to, like, I'm a person who just tells everybody everything in case you haven't noticed listening to this podcast, but if that's not, I just don't think anyone should have to do that if they don't want to. But there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think it's like fake or like I don't want to sound like I'm implying that somebody's like using that to milk sympathy and points. Like, I think everybody should just be allowed to be as open or private as they want to. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Agreed. Yes. I think it boils down to you are in control of what you tell people, and your, like I said, your worth and your value as an artist should not have to be defined by how much or how little like soul bearing you're doing. There's different ways to make art, and there's different ways to, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I don't need skating to be a metatextual experience in order to enjoy it.
Okay, here's something that occurred to me a couple weeks back, and I wrote like a bunch of scathing tweets, and then I was like, I have a podcast. I'll just save this for a time where I can yell into a microphone about this.
That's relatable. I've done that.
Here's the thing, Megan. Pity and love. I think that there is a contingent of people, and some of them are more casual about it because they just pick up the jokes and the memes from the internet, and some of them are actually insane, who will tell you that Nathan Chen has empty choreography or no choreography at all, or he's just skating from jump spot to jump spot. The same people will tell you his costumes are ugly. The same people will tell you that like he doesn't put in enough effort in said costumes and blah 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 blah. What I'm here to postulate is, if Nathan showed up next year in head-to-toe mint green Swarovski crystals and like tulle and organza and like skating to Prokofiev or some shit, the same people would be like, he's trying so hard. Like, you can't win. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. They'd be like, oh my god, he's copying. It's not sincere. That's the thing, is genuine sincerity of emotion. Like,
They'd be like, oh my god, he's trying so hard to be this other person, and he's not that other person. So it's, like, so embarrassing for him. And then he would go back to, like, a sleek black number and, like, a beautiful song, and they'd be like, what is he doing? It's boring.
I know. It's just, like, how do you know? How do you know if somebody is being sincere with their emotions? I mean, I have been critical of certain skaters and said that, like, I don't feel like their emotion is sincere. But, like, I honestly, like, and this is getting very performing arts theory-ish, but there's a difference.
Welcome to the podcast. That's what we do, bitch.
I know. There's a difference between portraying emotion in such a way that the audience thinks it's sincere versus literally portraying sincere emotion. It's the difference between like literally going out on stage and saying what's going on versus like being a good actor. And like, I don't think that, like, do you guys think that Yuzuru Hanyu is method acting and, like, every time he does Seimei, he, like, thinks he's gone back in time? Like, no, he's just a good actor. And, like, you can you can think that Nathan's not a good actor. I mean, that's a matter of taste. But, like, you don't get to say, like, it's not sincere emotion. Like, what?
You sound like the people who can't watch when Ice Dancers and Pair Skaters are not heterosexually in love with each other because they're disappointed that they won't kiss at the end.
Wait till they hear about how in romance movies, the actors are usually not actually kissing for real.
No, really?
Like, not dating for real. They're not even naked when they do it. It's disgusting.
Fuck, Megan, I need to sit down for a second.
I know. It's hard to learn that sometimes things are pretend, but...
Sometimes performance is just performance and people are not, like, character bleeding all over their, like, personal shit. Wow. This is devastating news to me. I've been method acting for 20 years and I've ruined many friendships. Apparently I didn't have to. Fuck.
Yeah, unfortunately, Yuma Kageyama doesn't know this either, and so he thought he was a real alien every time he did the Avatar program.
Yeah. Then he realized that he's not an alien, and that's why he's smiling in his When You're Smiling program, is because he's so happy that he's not an alien and he does have pockets.
But then the pockets are taken away and he gets so mad he has to fight and be a gladiator.
There it is. And now he is free from the delusion that he was an avatar.
Why is Gladiator having such a moment in Japan?
I don't know, but I'm into it. Oh, God.
Was it on Japanese HBO a lot last summer or something? Like, what is the connection?
I wanted so badly to beat it, like, one, like, car commercial or, like, perfume commercial, use the music, and a bunch of people are like, wait a second, remember Gladiator?
It has to be, right? Like, it has... I want to, like, do a dissertation on, like, what brought Gladiator back into the zeitgeist. Like this cannot be a coincidence.
Like, an anthropological study of how the fuck did we arrive to the 2022 Olympics with several medal-winning Gladiator programs?
I need to know. But anyway, haters gonna hate, hoes mad, Nathan won the gold medal.
I'm gonna cross-stitch that on a... pillow and bring that pillow with me just everywhere I go.
So before we get into honorable mentions, we just want to quickly honorably mention that that there are a few ways that you can support us and be very honorable if you so choose. Some of them require money and some of them don't. If you don't want to spend any money, girl, same. You can go on your local podcasting app, wherever you're listening to this, and give us 5 stars and a nice review. You can shout us out on a social media platform of your choice. Just tell your friends that you love this show and they would too. And you can also, if you want to be a little extra fancy, you can go onto our Patreon, patreon.com/icedpod. And for $1 a month or $5 a month or $7 a month, you have access to some special perks, a lot of which are a really astoundingly large back catalog of bonus episodes and bonus content. This month, we're going to be doing our bonus episode on the galas from the Olympics and Worlds. And then I think April, we're looking at doing sort of a roundup of, like, figure skaters in normie media following the Olympics, like talk shows, game shows, YouTube clips, stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, you can get that patreon.com/icedpod. You could also give us a one-time tip at buymeacoff.ee/icedpod. Buy me a coffee. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. We also love you if you're, like, just listening and that's all you're doing. It's, like, still so good for our egos and we love you.
Yes, I agree with all of that. That was a very good little rundown of things. Megan, so many boys were at the Olympics.
Yeah, like, we obviously have to start with Yuzuru Hanyu because it's, like, insane that he's off the podium, but, like, of course
he's, like, we've honorably mentioned him a whole bunch.
It's the only way to mention him, really, is honorably.
Yeah, I think he did what he needed to do. I think he achieved what he wanted from this. I, in my heart of heart, believe that he always knew that it was either going to be the quad axel attempt or it was going to be the podium, and he made the choice, which is historic.
I really, really, really think so, too. I really think he knew what he was doing. I think it's so easy to frame it as, like, the quad axel is his Hail Mary to get on the podium. But the more he's spoken about it, the more he's like, he didn't even know if it was going to happen. Yeah. He hadn't done it. And, you know what I mean? It would have been a miracle if he landed it for the first time clean on ice. And I think it's really smart and impactful and cool of him to be like, I'm like the best of all time. I'm the most accomplished of all time. And I'm going into my third Olympics. And I want to push the sport forward in a way that only I can do, as opposed to continuing to do the same thing over and over. Like, that was always his thing. Choreographically, like, yes. Skill-wise, he always wanted to keep growing. I say as though he's, like, he always wants to keep growing. And he always says, I want to do something new. I want to do something different. I want to push myself. So, like, it follows, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way he would want to make his mark on this Olympics. Because gold medals, he's done that twice, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You don't need a third one. You can make history in different ways. And I think it's just, like, such a cool lesson in having your own expectations about a thing and just showing up to do your thing, which might not be, you know, what goes in the history book because it's, oh, you know, the historic 14th gold. I think it's cool that he was like, I have this other thing I want to do, and just like did that. I think that's iconic of him.
I do too. Like, it's kind of what I would do. I mean, it's hard for me to know what I would do if I was that good at anything.
Yeah.
Because like, who on earth? But I think if I was at a point where I felt really, really accomplished at something, and it was the difference between trying to do the same thing for a third time in a row or kind of risking it all and being like, you know, what matters to me more is actually doing something completely different. I can definitely see why you would want the latter.
Yes.
Also, it was beautiful. Like, obviously, he was dealing with a ton of pain from his ankle.
Yeah,
which God. We know, you know, I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's literally one of those things of like, you know, getting the injections and they're like, you've had too many injections. No, I need another. You know what I mean? In order to be able to go out there and skate. And just, he obviously loves the Olympics. He obviously had a good time. And at no point did he seem like, oh, I'm devastated. I hate this. He seemed to know what he was doing. He went out there. He did it. And he did it beautifully. Like, he's, you know, we don't call him the greatest of all time because we're afraid of FANUs. We call him that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how I'm not even going to dignify, like, I'm not going to ruin this little portion of this commentary by complaining about the bullshit of the people. Because I know that he had a good time and I know that he did what he, one of the versions of what he set out to do. And I think that should be enough.
And I appreciate that he was like, I will do my signature, like, pastel colors, sequins, all of that. But we are going to make it slutty this time. And I really love that he did that.
That's personally. Growth.
I think that's growth. That's, like, again, innovation.
Yeah. I think everyone should take a cue from him and just contemplate, you know, making it slutty a little bit.
There we go. Speaking of slutty blouse details, do you want to talk about...
Oh, God, the absolute king?
The absolute king?
Jehwan Cha. King of the blouse. Well, not the blouse king. He's a different person. We're going to talk about him at Worlds. But, like, king of the dedication to the back detail. Came in fifth at the Olympics. Can you believe?
I can and I can't. Like, if you had asked me in, like, fall of 2018, can I believe? I would have been like, yeah. But then any time after that, I would have been like, whoa.
Yeah, it's been a journey.
Talk about peaking at the right time. Like, come on.
Beautiful princely man in his clock arms.
Yeah, and it's like, don't ever count him out because you can tell he and Brian and the cricket club have been so, like, this is all according to plan for them. They've known he can do it the whole time. They know that he's going to continue to do it. He said he wanted to be on the podium at the next Olympics, right? Like, I believe in him.
I can see that happening. I would be overjoyed.
I could see him being on the podium this weekend. Like, it's, yes. He has every chance.
Yeah. Jesus, it's so soon. I'm so excited. Yes.
I just want to do a very, very brief shout out of Bo Young-jin, who did a beautiful job. Again,
how
another
dare
good,
you?
Like,
I mean, yes, but we can't skip over Jason Brown.
Oh, I'm not going in order. I just thought of Bo Young because I saw him. Anyway, Jason Brown.
The light of my life, Jason Brown, came in sixth at the Olympics. That's all I have to say about it. It was perfect.
Yeah, no quad attempts. And, like, again,
just
much
quality.
Like Yuzu.
Just fucking. Just, yeah. He did what he wanted to do. It was perfect. Everyone knows it was perfect. What is there to say, really? It's just...
My favorite, like, post-Olympics interview with Jason was when he said, like, you know, I've always really loved theater and dance, and I always was like, oh, I can't do that, but this is what I can do. And I'm like,
sweetie,
why are you making it out like doing that on ice skates is harder than doing it in, like, bare feet. Like, what the fuck do you mean this is what I can do?
Yeah.
Like, do you think people ice skate because it's easier than dancing on not ice skates?
People ice skate because they couldn't go to musical theater school? Like, Jesus.
It's like anti, that's the opposite of me.
Yeah.
Maybe Jason Brown is my Wario.
I hate that we went to the exact same place.
Maybe. We somehow ended up with the same hair, though, so it's okay.
Maybe Jason Brown is my Wario is the title of this episode.
Sure. Why the fuck not at this point?
Jason Brown is sixth at the Olympics, and he was perfect. The end. That's all I have to say about that, or otherwise I will weep for, like, half an hour, and no one needs to hear that at this point.
Correct. Daniel Grossel also did a beautiful job.
Yeah. Yeah, he's another one of those kids where I'm like, hey, maybe next time. Next time it's going to be at home.
He's kind of outgrowing his, like, weird alien strangeness. And now he's just, like, kind of a beautiful prince. Like,
he also got a haircut recently. And now he's, like, really just, like, boy. Like, humanoid proportions boy.
Did he walk into the barber and was like, give me the boy. And he was like, say no more.
And it's just, like, a montage, like, a makeover montage. They, like, give him several, like, different boy looks. Like, he's, like, a little sailor. And then he's, like, I don't know. I don't know what boys are.
You said a little sailor, and then you ran out of things you could possibly picture a boy as.
Like, the capital B boy? Yes. I imagine, like, a sailor and, like, a newsie and a boy with, like, a really big lollipop.
Well, okay, you should call Benoit right now, because now I know what I want Daniel's programs to be next year.
A sailor and a newsie.
Yeah, like a big lollipop.
Oh, he skates as the big lollipop.
Yeah, because that's, like, artsy. I feel like Benoit would like that.
Oh, God. What else? Keegan Messing managed to show up, and he fucking showed up. He once again was the talk of the town with his fucking journey.
As somebody who's late to everything, I feel really seen by Keegan.
it's just his dedication to just, like, living so far away from everything and then just, like, having to show up places must be hard.
Yeah, and I think Keegan has taught an important lesson, which is, like, society loves to tell you that, like, it's, like, the worst sin on earth to be late for things and that you're, like, a terrible dog shit human being if you're a chronically late person, which is, like, very ableist, but whatever. What I want to say to you is that in my experience, and Keegan Messing very much confirms this, is that if you're cool enough and people like you enough, you can be late and it's fine.
Yeah, that's why celebrities show up late to things. Did you see that thing where, like, Rihanna was supposed to show up somewhere and she showed up, like, yes, recently, and, like, a press person was like, you're late, and she was like, yeah, no shit.
If you give a pregnant woman shit for being late, like, go to hell. I'm sorry.
Like, she doesn't need to be Rihanna. Just, like, don't do that to people. Don't do that to pregnant people, but, like, don't do that to anyone.
Yeah, holy shit. But also, that's kind of what Keegan did. He rocked up, and people were like, you're late, and he was like,
yeah no shit. Ah, yes, I love Keegan Messing, the Rihanna of figure skating.
Keegan Messing is Rihanna's Wario. Mick Brazina didn't make the free skate because God isn't real and life's not fair.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about, there's two things that we're not going to talk about, and they're how the existence of the team event is the reason that Mick and Roman both did not make the free event, and I would prefer to not think about it because it makes me want to do a murder.
If I see the team event out in public, it's on site.
I need the team event to just drop its address. I just want to talk.
And Denis Vasilievs is the best, the end.
Yes, and Denis Vasilievs is a beautiful, beautiful prince. His ponytail stayed up, and he was perfect. It's just, it's hard because so many of them were perfect, and there's only so many slots from, like, 1 to 24, and yet everyone was perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to make this joke one time on this podcast, and I've been saving it for this individual. He yes. really did put his whole Danussi into that Olympics.
Really? You were saving it for him?
I think if I had to really say, like, who put their whole, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Danussi, Dennis, yeah.
Dennis put the whole Danussi into the program. Like, that's who deserves that.
I think when God gave Dennis two S's in his first name, God knew that it was because he would put his whole Danussi in the Olympics 2022.
Amen.
My mom listens to this show.
Yeah, but maybe they probably didn't teach her Dundussy in English class, so maybe she won't notice.
Yeah, she listens while she works. It's fine. This is sort of like a world's preview. I just want to tell you that Matteo Rizzo did not do Måneskin at the Olympics, but he is doing Måneskin at Worlds.
It's what we deserve.
It is what I deserve as a gay and European.
Absolutely. The end. Now, okay, if I may transition us to Plushy Corner, it's a very small corner, sadly.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I missed it, but...
I mean, I'm sure for sanitation reasons, like, yeah, it makes total sense. Whatever, all those usual things. So I'm not saying there should have been more plushies. I just want to talk about what we saw. We saw Adam Xiaohimfa with a rubber chicken, which is just the best.
Yes, we sure did see that.
And we also saw something that I wish I didn't have to speak of because it's an abomination, but I do. And that's this thing that kept coming back and coming back. And it was this fucking horrible elephant in, like, the Czech Kiss and Cry. It was, like, either their pairs or their ice dance team. I forget. Had this gigantic, horrible, floppy elephant. And it looked like when you go to Build-A-Bear and they're just, like, husks and you haven't stuffed them yet. But it was huge. And I hated that that was, like, the plushie of the event because it's wrong and it shouldn't exist.
This, like, elephantine husk.
Exactly. An elephantine husk. We deserve better.
Just real quick, I want to plug our Patreon right this second because a very long time ago, we built D&D characters. That's Dungeons & Dragons for those of you who are not fucking nerds. We built D&D characters based on figure skaters, and then we had Friend of the Pod and DM Extraordinaire Nikki Nenkov DM us as those character athletes fighting a skating monster, and the skating monster was just like this huge plushy golem of like mutated terrible plushies, and I didn't think that existed in real life, but this elephant is making a very strong case.
Yeah, I don't wish to think about it any longer than I have to, because I feel like it knows that I'm thinking about it and it can see me back.
Megan, I'm closer to a Czech Republic than you are.
I'm like ancestrally closer. So it knows. Like, I think that that's part of my DNA.
It's gonna, like, show up. It's gonna be, like, one of those, like, creepy, like, horror movies about, like, a doll. It's, like, Annabelle or some shit. Like, you're gonna turn around and it's just there.
I'm gonna do some sort of DNA testing and it's...
It turns out you're 100% elephant. 100%
that elephant.
So anyway.
And Bing Dwen Dwen was there, of course. I don't think those were plushies, but they were cute.
Yeah, I know we're not talking about the ROC ladies at all, but I think it was like an Anna interview. It's one of them who apparently like managed to purchase as many of them as possible and came home with like a suitcase full of Bing Dwen Dwen. Just like literally a full suitcase. And I can respect that.
I sort of feel like if you win gold, regardless of the circumstances, they should give you at least a couple for free. But
well,
you
know. Yeah. But I imagine the foresight of like, oh, I need to, when I travel, have one extra suitcase for all of my hard plastic Bing Dwen Dwen that I'm going to acquire and bring home with me.
Mm-hmm. That is foresight. And I respect it.
Yeah, that's all I have to... I think there is nothing else to say about plushies or, like, non-plushy Bing Dwen Dwens. We've talked more about Bing Dwen Dwen in the past and how I adore him.
Yeah. I wrote this outline for Social Media Corner back when we thought we were going to be recording this with the women's episode, so it might be, like, a little outdated, but I will tell you about some things that happened on Instagram.
All right.
Jason has been popping off and making some amazing videos. He did one to Positions. He did one to Human. And they really highlight, they're not just thirst traps, people, although that they are. They also really highlight his exquisite control of, you know, skating skills, blade.
Well, there you go.
If you're into that, and if you're into just a handsome man skating, then that is also good for you. It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's just very good. And it kind of makes me imagine a future where he choreographs more. And it makes me very excited.
Yeah, speaking of thirst traps, Liu Xinyu, the ice dancer from China, posted a lot of them and also a lot of silly photos. If you didn't know who that is, he's the very, very tall one. If you think, who's that tall guy from Team China? That's him. So tall. Like, maybe too tall? I don't know. Discuss.
No.
But
I've never met a person who's too tall.
Okay. It just looks like it's uncomfortable to exist in his form, but he's obviously doing the most with it if he's like a really good ice dancer. So yeah. He's also like posting workout videos that are clearly like he has a mastery over his own insanely long body. And he posted a thing of, I think it's gone now, unfortunately. I think it was a story.
Oh no.
But it was him like sort of posing like draped over like 16 female skaters' laps at the gala. And it was really funny.
Died as he lived.
Oh, it was Hanyeon's birthday, and he also posted thirst traps.
I appreciate it. Everyone's just kind of popping off. I hope we see
more
of that.
Yeah, do you sense a theme here? It's Hot Boy Spring.
Hot Boy Spring.
So if you want to see us continue our Hot Boy Spring into Hot Boy Summer.
Worlds,
stay tuned. We're going to be coming back at you very soon, and we hope that you enjoyed our Olympics coverage. We loved doing it, and to our listeners old and new, we love you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming along with for this.
We don't pity you. We just love you.
We pity you, and we... No, we don't. Yeah, Megan already outlined all of the ways in which you can continue to just, like, hang out with us and support us and all of that. Megan, just because I'm sick and I need a pick-me-up, do you want to hit me with the list, the ever-growing list of our incredible Patreon supporters? I will say it one more time. Our Patreon keeps the lights on in our metaphorical studio, helps us make this possible, and also helps us support people, causes, things, events, organizations that might need our help, which there are so many of right now in the world, and honestly just always. Anyway, you supporting our Patreon helps us support other people. And also, last time I listened to the list of patrons, I literally cried. So make me cry again, Megan.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay, ready? thank you very much to Steph, Freya, Casey, Josiah, Sabrina, Annie, Carissa, Magical Zebra in Winter, Linnea, Alina, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Jimmy, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Jana, Barbara, another Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joe, KM, In Spirit I Am Always Throwing Plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Fucking amazing. Love you guys so much. And if you're listening, love you almost as much. Almost. You can find us on the internet if you'd like to watch us devolve about Worlds, which, again, is happening. Megan, where are you on the internet?
I'm at Megan Kelleher 3, and that's it. That's where I am. Where are you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie, that's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find both of us over at IcedyPod on Twitter and Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee. Find us, we'll be live tweeting, and we'll be back very soon with actual cohesive, coherent world coverage.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys. Love you. Bye.